No election is decided until the votes are counted, but when Americans go to the polls to elect the next House of Representatives, the results in the vast majority of cases will be foregone conclusions. That's because most House districts are drawn to make them safe for one party or another. State legislatures set the boundaries. There's a long tradition of drawing the lines for political purposes. The party in power often does what it can to maximize its advantages. Jeffrey Toobin has written about this in the New Yorker magazine, where he's a staff writer and joins us from his office there. Mr. Toobin, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Scott.
And just familiarize us with the numbers. How many of the 435 seats in the House of Representatives can be considered safe seats, almost uncontested?
It's generally acknowledged that a little less, maybe, than 400 of the 435 are essentially non-competitive. Mm-hmm. In the last election, exactly four incumbents were defeated in the general election by members of the opposite party. That gives you some idea of how uncompetitive the House has become.
Mm-hmm. And we should mention, was it not the intention of the framers of the Constitution that the House of Representatives on a two-year election cycle be the most responsive to popular opinion?
That's exactly right. In fact, the House, James Madison wrote at one point that he figured about half the House would turn over during each election, and he thought that was basically a good thing. That would give the people an immediate voice in their government. It was the Senate that was supposed to be somewhat removed and isolated from the passions of the day.
Your article suggests that even by the standards of a political process, there has been more partisanship that has aggrieved the process in recent years, particularly the past 2 years.
Right. There really does seem to be a quantum difference in the nature of gerrymandering that has gone on in the past couple of years.
Gerrymandering, we might explain, is redrawing the lines of a district in a way that they look funny and often don't seem to be dictated by natural boundaries.
Named after Elbridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts in the early 19th century, who was said to have drawn a district that looked like a salamander, mm-hmm. which gave us the term. But what's happened in recent years is that computer technology and the data available to the people doing redistricting has made this such a precise science that it really is possible to gerrymander with extreme certainty. And the other impact is that the Republican Party, which of course has been ascendant in recent years, has simply been extremely aggressive in this area, most notably in Texas and in Colorado, mm-hmm. where they have for the first time redistricted in the middle of the 10-year cycle. It used to be it was done every 10 years. In Texas and Colorado, the Republicans have pushed through plans after the first plan of the decade.
Yeah, you write in the article that it used to be there was this kind of observed, if unstated, truce that following the census every 10 years, lines would be redrawn. So resort to whatever political mischief you want to every 10 years, but at least put it on a cycle. And you say that's changed.
Right. To use an old-fashioned term, there was sort of a gentleman's agreement mm-hmm. that redistricting was a once-a-decade phenomenon that the Republicans have abrogated, and that means it's essentially a free-for-all for now on, because there is simply nothing in the world that engages legislators more than redistricting, because it's, of course, their survival at stake.
You pay a visit to a congressman in Pennsylvania who sits on, I believe it's the porch of his house, and has a particularly telling vignette to present to you.
Right. I went to see now former Congressman Frank Mascara, who lives in a little town south of Pittsburgh, and he lives in a very modest house, and we parked across the street, walked to his porch, and he said, "You see where we parked our cars? That's the 18th Congressional District. I live in the 12th Congressional District, because the Republicans who redistricted in Pennsylvania, they drew the line right in front of my house because they wanted to separate me from my old district."
Now, to be fair, when the Democrats have been ascendant, I say this as a Chicagoan, they've been known to draw some pretty creatively shaped districts too, haven't they?
Absolutely. In fact, before what went on in Texas, perhaps the most notorious gerrymander in recent years had been following 1980, where the Burton brothers did an extremely creative gerrymander of the California Congressional District, which added between 5 and 10 Democrats to the House there.
The state of Iowa is different, isn't it?
The state of Iowa is just about the only state in the Union that operates as close to a nonpartisan redistricting system as is pretty much possible. And as a result, virtually every race for Congress in Iowa was competitive. A state with, I believe, 1/90th of the population had, I think, 1/10th of the truly competitive races this year. And I think that gives you some idea of how much a difference it makes whether you redistrict in a partisan way or in a nonpartisan way.
Are there any other states that view Iowa as a model?
Arizona has moved slightly in that direction, but I think most states view Iowa as a eccentric good government laboratory that the other states have absolutely no intention of emulating unless the Supreme Court forces them to.
Mr. Toobin, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Jeffrey Toobin, staff writer for The New Yorker magazine.